Carroll Show. The first word from the Seahawks head coach every Monday at 9:30 with Brock and Salk. Presented by the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook and Top Fitness.
Coach.
Hey.
Two in a row. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to everybody.
Did you have a nice day yesterday? Did you get everybody get a day off yesterday?
We took a little time. We got a little time in the morning, and then we were in here doing it. So
family time?
Well, yeah, everybody got a little bit of family time, so we respected the holiday and then worked late the day before and tonight and all that stuff. So we'll catch up. We'll be fine.
Any new flannels? You get any new flannels?
Yeah, matter of fact.
You're not wearing new flannels. I thought you would have come in like dressed to your Christmas best.
Matter of fact, I kind of double dipped on some flannels.
So, oh, yeah. Big day.
Pretty good.
Big day. Well, you must have been in a pretty good mood. It was a heck of a game.
Yeah, I'm in a pretty good mood. Heck yeah, we're doing some stuff. We're making a little noise. It's good.
How would you describe this team right now?
We're moving. We're moving in a good direction here. Guys really believe in it. And you know, the most important thing is you go and you play really hard every week and you give yourself a chance. You got to practice really well to be prepared for the opportunities to win. And we've been doing that. And so they're hard. Every game is hard. Don't forget, you've been around long enough over there on the other side of the phone here, that these games are hard. And it doesn't matter who you play or what's going on, the circumstances, they're just hard. Look what happened again this week. And so fortunately, we found a way and put together a great finish on both sides again. And that's the kind of stuff that gives you reason to keep believing and knowing you're going to get it done. And so there's a really good feeling about it, and we're looking forward to this next one.
You get any chance with the NFL now? It feels like, especially in December, Pete, they spread these games Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Thursday. Do you get a chance to watch more of those games than maybe you did 5-10 years ago?
Well, I think so. Yeah, they're on in the background all the time. I mean, I got so many screens in my office right now. You know, I got five screens going, so I'm like an air traffic control thing. I get their games are going the whole time, and it's fun. I think it's good that they spread them out.
What are you seeing? To your point there, do you see the parity maybe in this league? I know we always talk about that. The league is always built, it feels like, to go 8-9, 9-8. And then it's the teams that are healthy, the teams that come together, the teams that finish. Do you feel that more than maybe ever before as you watch kind of the wackiness?
I've always
of these...
felt it's kind of like that, you know, so I don't know that it's any different. I mean, every year seems so unique, you know, in itself. And so this one's got its way and themes and all that. But it certainly is. There's a log jam in the middle of it. And the teams on top are getting knocked around, too. And so it's, you know, it's kind of, who knows? We'll find out what happens if we're fortunate enough to make it to the playoffs, how we play against whomever we play. And we'll see what the heck happens. You know, it's just one shot at a time. That focus, you heard Gino. I remember I caught a clip of Gino talking about it. It's exactly what he said. It's every day, it's every play, and it's every game until you get through it, and then you go to the next thing. It demands that kind of focus and attention. And so at least the guys on top of our team, the leaders are talking that way.
Well, right now it's not fortunate. If you guys control your own destiny, right, you win out and you are in the playoffs. Nobody can stop you from that, which is great.
Yeah.
What has changed with this team in the last 2 weeks that has gotten them kind of back moving in the right direction?
Well, it has to do with how we're playing against the people we're playing. We got knocked around a little bit in the middle there, you know, and interestingly, we see a number of teams had 3- and 4-game streaks, 2- and 3-game streaks, you know, going on where they didn't hit it right, and we had ours, and unfortunately, it put us behind eight ball a little bit, and we're having to climb back out, so at least we're getting there, and we're making progress, and we're feeling good about it, and we'll see what happens this week.
Only 7 possessions in that game. It was kind of a weird one Sunday. They had 8. You guys had 7 possessions. Both teams largely possessed the ball. No turnovers, really, for either team. How would you evaluate Gino bouncing back, coming back off of his groin injury and in his 7 possessions, how he played?
Oh, I thought he played really well. I thought he did a great job in this game. He did what we needed him to do, and he really hit it on third down. Finally, was really a great situation for us. We finished really strong. I think we hit 5 of our last 6 and the last 4 in the last drive, and him coming through in those situations. But he got a lot of help. I thought Tyler played great. I think Tyler caught 6 passes for first downs in the game. Jackson did well on third down as well and came through. And of course, DK had a couple great ones in there. So I think that all fit together. That's why the possessions were down, because the drives were longer and more, you know, kind of continuity to it. It felt way better.
You mentioned after the game that Gina did a great job on the final drive of using all of the weapons. And it seems like that's been an interesting challenge slash great thing for this team is how to use all of the various weaponry that exists on this offense. Is he starting to get, and Shane starting to get a pretty good feel for that?
Well, what I'm seeing Jackson is really emerging. Uh-huh. You know, he's really coming to life and stuff, and he's really coming through, and he's running routes really well, makes catches secure, turns into the transition into running really quickly. He's really fitting in. So he just that it's just one element in particular, I think, that adds and makes everybody else come alive too. It's just the now you have to cover everybody, and so. It's not like Geno's figuring it out. You know, that's not what's happening. We're just running our stuff, and guys are executing better, and we're more clear about having the options. They're there, and so we're giving everybody a shot. You saw we tried to get Jake in there a little bit too, and he had a couple shots, and so it's just utilizing the people. But I don't know that we're just all of a sudden realizing we're just trying to make it come to life, and you got to throw and catch it, and then when you do that, you can see it, you know.
Yeah, maybe a little more Jackson on the outside, which has been fun to see, right? Obviously, the touchdown to Philadelphia, a huge one there late, huge slant routes, you know, just not – it feels like Pete, at least, and I don't know if the numbers back this up, you know, formationally he's being able to take advantage on the outside as much as he is on the inside as well.
He can, you know, Brock, he can do all of it. So it's just a matter of the calls and, did the coverage allow that to happen? You know, we can't make those things happen. We have to play off what the opportunity presents. But he certainly can run routes outside, inside. It doesn't matter. He can do everything. And he's such a come-through kid that, you know, we can't get enough of it. So it's a really nice – I think that's what you're sensing. That emergence is kind of makes it look like we got more of a spread of the ball going around.
Are there wide receivers that can't do that really only function inside or outside?
There are some, yeah. There's some guys that really are featured in there for sure over time.
Are there skills? Is it body size? Like, what is it that would –
There's feel. It's really playing inside – like playing the nickel position, there's a lot of variables in there. Different coverages, different guys, safeties and linebackers and corners getting on you. And the coverages all allow for an opportunity to make choices and decisions and fit in and find your ways and your spacing. Some guys are just better at that than other guys. And you don't have to be as physically gifted speed-wise to be effective in there. You know, we've seen guys over the years that are marvelous slot guys. They just have a better sense and feel. Both Tyler and Jackson are both guys like that. They have all of those senses in really obvious fashion. So we're trying to just mix them in there and get that, you know, continue to do well there with those guys, and it'll really keep the ball moving. Again, it's only two or three first downs a game make a difference on those third down stats, you know, but those are enormous for us, and we had a great finish. You know, five out of the last six, man, I love that.
Geno said after the game that you guys work on two-minute drills more than other teams do, at least in his experience, places he's been. How, first of all, do you think that's true? And then second of all, you know, do you see that playing itself out in the style of game you play and the success in those types of games?
Absolutely. I feel it's helping us. I don't know what other people are doing. I don't know that. You know, we have a really disciplined format for how we've been doing that for years. We just accumulate hundreds and hundreds of snaps in situations that just becomes normal for our guys. I think for years, I mean, you know, Russell was fantastic in those situations. He had the same indoctrination, you know, it's, I'm really proud of that, because it does show that the coaching does, you know, make some sense here, because it carries over into the most crucial of situations, and and our guys are, you know, when they're talking like that, then that's, you know, bona fide, you know, results that happen.
Well, I guess part of the reason I ask, and maybe you can't answer this, but, you know, I think for a long time we would say, well, Russell's great in the clutch. Russell's great in the fourth quarter. Geno's great in the fourth quarter. And so far, both things have been true, but I don't know that we spent enough time wondering whether or not that was coached into them to be great in those moments because of the emphasis put in those spots.
Drew looked pretty good.
Throw Drew in there as well. Yeah, absolutely.
I do. I mean, I don't mind saying it, because Geno's validating. I know if you asked Russ, he would tell you the same thing, that all of that time accumulated just – puts us in a real groove in those situations, and we feel really confident there. I'm still pissed about the Dallas game. You know, that's the one we screwed up, and it was set up, was tailor made to do just what we do, and we didn't get it done, you know, at that time. But, you know, of course, they're going to get you some. But we should be as confident and prepared to tackle whatever situation or talking or conversation. All the language that takes place in the, you know, in the little moments in between the plays and stuff is all real normal, and that's what puts guys in a real comfortable place to execute really well.
So what was the number that you were intrigued about during the game that they kept referencing, the passing outside the numbers?
Yeah, that you guys throw outside the numbers to the sideline more than any other team in the league.
So?
I was curious about it. Why? I don't know. I guess
so
I,
what?
My question was why. Yeah. Is it something you're good at? Is that part of the...
Well, we're throwing the ball pretty well now. Jim,
yeah.
You know, our guys are doing fine.
I'm not trying to criticize it.
No, I know,
I was just curious.
But it comes out as like, oh, they're missing out on something.
No, I honestly didn't mean that at all.
No, but that I've heard, you know, when it keeps coming up, people think, you know, you're not doing this or that. But we're not trying to throw the ball outside. That we just take what we get. And we've got really nice receivers that we really like. So they're the guys that are lined up on the outside. So they're going to get the ball out there more. And I'm not sure exactly where the delineation is between inside outside. But we hit a couple big-time plays over the middle to Jackson. And look at DK last week, you know, a couple times. In crucial situations, we don't mind throwing the ball anywhere. It's not by design we're afraid to throw the ball in the middle or anything. It's just,
I think it's more a testament of your personnel. I mean, I think it is. I think it's Tyler's
route
running. I think it's DK's one-on-one prowess. Yeah. I think it is now Jackson's ability to win on the outside. Like,
I wonder if it was just Geno's arm strength and ability to get the ball to the outside.
Well, that we have total confidence that we can use the field. I mean, look at the couple throws he hit Tyler on the sidelines. You know, Tyler's a great sidelines guy, and he hit him a beautiful one, about a 20-yard throw. It was just great, you know, just coordination and the throw and catch on the sidelines and everything. That we do feel confident about doing that, so it's a good part of our game.
You know, one of the big things in turns the last couple weeks, Pete, as well, has just been limiting the explosives. I think it was Jason Kelce on his podcast with his brother. It's pretty fun hearing from his perspective, the center there in Philly, talking about your scheme and your style and what they were facing and everything else. And that was a big point that he made. He said, like, they made it hard on us. They played a lot of their coverage and wanted to limit explosives, and we could not get any of the explosive plays going. In these two wins over the last couple of weeks, how big of a factor has that been defensively?
We really did make a couple adjustments to try and create that in a few weeks ago, a better sense that for us controlling what's going on downfield. And it did. It showed up. Last couple of weeks have been really important games for us pass coverage-wise. And it's helped us out. We didn't get the sacks a week ago, but this week we certainly had, you know, a bunch of pressures and the sacks that went along with it. And it's we've been able to limit the hot shot receivers that they got, you know, and Hopkins didn't have a big game against us, and AJ didn't have a big game against the week before. That's all part of it. So it's a really good part of our game. I would love to keep that intact as we go down the stretch here. And even though we've had to, you know, rope it up with the running game a little bit here, and not the way we like to do it, but it's come off of a really good pass defense days, and the guys on the back end are doing it, and the rush guys are contributing. So, but we have adjusted some things to make that come to life. I'm glad to see that happen.
Just to follow up on the getting to the passer stuff, the guy that I thought we would be talking about more this year, and I don't know that we have, not for good or for bad, is Dre Jones. Tell me more about him. What has he done this year? How have you used him? Yeah. What have you thought of the season that he's had?
We brought him in and figured that we're going to have to use him inside is because we just had space available there, you know, and as a pass rusher. And he started there, but when Leo came around, it changed the opportunity. And so we were able to move him outside, which he's done some throughout his career. And I think he's really come to life mixing in and out, and as opposed to just being strictly an inside guy. He's played really hard. He's given really consistent effort. He's been available for making some big sacks and, you know, on the games and the things that we've done. He's been a very consistent player here for the last 6-8 weeks or something like that. And I think, well, I don't know, how long ago did Leonard get here? Was it
6-7 weeks?
Something like that, yeah. I think it's really coincided. And so he's really an athletic kid, and he's really a natural athlete. You know, he's a good basketball type of movement guy, and he takes advantage of that when he gets more space. And so I think he's doing a nice job.
It's interesting hearing him, and some of that description reminds me of Michael Bennett, and yet he doesn't seem to remind me of Michael Bennett with his body type, et cetera, but it seems like they can do a lot of the same things.
Yeah, they're both really good natural athletes, and that flexibility and the good hips and the feet connection that they can do stuff. They can slip and slide and duck and dodge underneath guys and things like that. There is a real similarity. Both those, they're both kind of similar in that regard.
45 sacks now, tied for 6 in the NFL in total numbers there of sacks. Is there a number that, that you find is winning football?
Is there, yeah, first in the NFC is what I like. You didn't mention that one. Yeah, yeah, that's a cool number, man. These guys work really hard for that. This last game was a game we really thought that we had pass rush opportunities, and we really made a big deal about it during the week, and we emphasized the heck out, and we were really hard on our guys about not jumping off sides and screwing up our chances to rush the passer really well, because they were kind of fidgety, and they did some things that could make it hard, and our guys really came through. And I think we had 8 pressures and 6 sacks, and it was a really big game for us, and made obviously in the last drive to get 2 sacks in a 2-minute drive, that's marvelous
stuff. Well, and on the back end, you know, Julian Love with a what seemed to me anyway to be a pretty incredible game. That's the biggest hit I can remember in like the last couple of years. He destroyed that guy, and legal and no flags, no nothing. What has he brought to your defense?
Everything. He's really brought all of the whole thing. He's a coverage guy. He's a hitting guy. He's a smart guy. You can count on him. He's a playmaker, and he's a special teams guy too. I mean, he had a marvelous season. I thought you were getting it all fired up about Tariq's hit.
That was pretty good too.
Reek had his career hit right there. You know, he hit the guy so hard that he thought he was hurt himself. he got up and was winding the clock, and then he realized, I must have hit that guy really hard. I got to go back down. By the time I get out there, I'm helping him up. He's still laying on the turf. But he had a big smile on his face, so it was really fun. I love that play. Because when you see the guy wind the clock, mm-hmm. then you know that they don't have a chance. So it's kind of like a walk-off shot, you know. So
you guys got kind of jobbed on that same kind of play call years ago. Do you remember that, where the guy went out of bounds, but the ref said he was moving backwards at the time, and you ended up not getting – I forget who it was.
We have a really good one, though, too, that KJ put a hit on a guy in the Cardinals one and that was really a big deal at down the end of the stretch of a game. And it's an interesting call. It's a difficult call to make. The officials have to do some gauging in there. We had some calls. I think I can't wait to hear what the league says about the Trey Brown interference. You know, I thought that was really one, you know, they've made a big deal about this, about owning your space. The space that you have is yours, you know, and you have to, and the other guy has to avoid you. Mm. Kind of in both ways, offense and defense. Man, I didn't see that one the way they saw that one at all. That's a huge call right there. Mm. 3rd and 10, you know, and we're off the field and we're out, you know, or field goal or whatever. That's a huge deal there. So we'll see. We're challenging some stuff even as the week goes on here.
Pete, how much do you guys look at PFF? Pro Football Focus and their grades? Does that ever come up?
Oh, constantly. Yeah, that's,
it does.
We're constantly talking that stuff. And you know, there's parts of it, you know, that I won't bank everything on those numbers exclusively, like they got all the answers, but we certainly use it, and we get so accustomed to being able to do it. It's really good for like pass protection stuff and coverage stuff and penalties and things like that. You know, all of those things, I mean, every bit of it has reason to check in with it. And so we have not just the coaches, we have a whole fleet of guys here that are really on us all the time. We're getting sheets on our desk all the time, you know, stats and comparisons and things like that. So it's good stuff.
I think PFF had Tariq as his highest graded game this season. And I was chatting with Salk earlier just about the essence of competition. You know, you mentioned last week that you opened it up and it was an open competition over the course of the week and the guys are going to play. And, you know, the benefit of that competition, you mentioned the hit, some of the coverage, nearly had a pick where he undercut the crossing route as well.
Oh, he had a touchdown. Yeah, he had a score right there. Yep.
Fair to say that you know, that competition and just kind of maybe getting healthy and everything else, that he's putting together a couple of his best games of the season when it matters?
Coach Wooden used to say, you know, that the bench is the coach's best friend, you know, and there's that competitive part of it. Sometimes when you can have the availability of it, it's ain't nothing like it, you know. Guys want to play, and when you have really good guys fighting for spots, they just get better and they play better. And Coach knew what he was talking about.
I'm impressed. You quote a UCLA coach.
Yeah, well, Coach Wooden.
He gets this beat by himself.
He's kind of he's above and beyond all that stuff.
Good catch, though.
That was a good catch.
Well, I mean, two weeks in a row, I have to ask a question about a guy that has no competition on this roster at all, just as far as I know, and that's Michael Dixon. I cannot believe what a weapon he has been, and this year especially, but pinning guys deep, changing the field.
What punt did he hit, you know, from their own end zone? Oh, man.
Well, it's interesting. There's such a debate in today's NFL about fourth downs, and especially on the positive side of the 50, you know, you've got a whole group of people out there that believe any time you punt on the positive side of the 50, or sometimes at all, you've made a mistake, that you should always be going for it on fourth down. But it's interesting with a weapon like Michael Dixon, how it can completely change some of those calculations.
Yeah, I'm trying to play to our strengths, and Michael is a great strength of ours, and he's so consistent, and the accountability is off the charts. So when we can use him, and when we can utilize the defense or the weather or whatever the conditions that go along with it, some of those stats, you know, they're okay. They're real stats, and you can go with them if you want to. But there's the other side of the stat that I'm always, you know, making sure that I'm tuned into, and it's the mental side of it. You know, you don't make one of those situations because you decided to go for it. The mental part of that can be devastating at times, and you know, you're never wrong when you kick the ball inside the 10-yard line. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, but we're looking for opportunities too. We know our stats and stuff, but there's still the other side of it, and what are you risking? You know, at the chance that you don't convert and all that. So,
well, I also think it's interesting how it changes the other team's mentality when they're backed up. How different is an offense inside its own 10 compared to outside its own 20, 25?
No, there is a big difference. And that's, we practice that stuff so much to avoid that freeze that can get on, you know, that you're afraid to throw the ball in the flat or outside might get it picked or whatever, you know.
Or you get a hold in the end zone and you get 2 points.
Yeah, right? Just like the other night, you know, we saw the mistake in the end zone. There's stuff going on there. And you know, we've had a mentality for years around here that when we're backed up, we got to get a first down, you know. But our goal is to get 2 first downs. And if we get 2 first downs, then we start over. And so when we practice it, that's what I'm, you know, we're emphasizing, because you just got to knock your way out of there. So there's some tension about that for obvious reasons, because you're in a scoring zone for the other side too. So we try to be really smart about that. And, you know, we don't, and not everybody's always, everybody's going to always agree with it, but that's okay.
Pete, are we getting close with Spoon? Because I'm seeing him on the sidelines. And
yeah,
now he's,
I just passed him in the hallway. I'm glad you asked. I just passed him in the hallway, grabbed him. He says, I'm going out to run right now. So that this is the day off here, and he's running today. That's a really good sign. He tried really hard at game day and was out there trying to get it done, see if he could get through it. He just couldn't get loosened up enough to go. So let's all keep our fingers crossed. We just want to see the guy play football some more. You know, we'd love watching him. But I'm sorry if I kind of cut off your question, because I was excited to answer that one.
Jamal
wants to try to. He's gonna see where he is. He's had some rest now. He may be able to bounce this week. We'll find out. Well, I don't know the answer to that yet.
And Jordan,
don't know yet. But his ankle was sore. I know there's a question there. It's gonna be hard to get him back.
How much would you have enjoyed coaching a guy like Derrick Henry?
Oh, man, it's funny. I've said that through this week. I love that guy. I love the way he plays and what he adds to the game. He is a factor. And I don't know how old he is anymore. I don't even know what he looks the same as he's always looked to me. He's a brute. And he finds every little nook and cranny in there, and he falls forward, and he can throw the ball. He did it again.
Has there been a head coach in the NFL?
I practiced the halfback pass about 3 times this week.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
He still got you.
The jump pass that he's thrown, but he practiced it, and he still got us, man.
He's good at it.
Yeah, he's great at it.
So there cannot be a head coach in the history of the NFL that loves running backs more than Pete.
I'll challenge anybody on that. You're right.
I mean, didn't Mike Ditka like trade his whole draft for a running back?
That's fine. That's fine.
I feel like Ditka's got to at least have.
I don't think that worked out.
No,
he didn't do it for 20 years. No, he didn't do it for 20. It's very clear. Nobody loves running backs more than Pete. So.
Yeah, I do. I love the factor that they play in the game, and I love the variation of the styles, you know, and the uniqueness of. Matter of fact, we were watching some cutups this morning, and Alex Collins was on the cutups against Pittsburgh, and rest in peace, Alex, and all that. But man, it just brought back some of our older guys that were on the film, and Alex was really starred in this cutup that we had. It was great to see it. To his family or whatever. Yeah. If anybody's listening out there, we loved him.
Well, Coach, we didn't even get him his gift of a highlight.
You want a quick Rabel highlight? We got to turn it over. Stacey Ross is famous now. She had 23 million views of her tweet about a raccoon over the weekend. So we have to make sure we give ground. But here you go. Here is the touchdown pass as called by Steve Rabel.
Parkinson on the left. Geno looks that way, throws back shoulder. Parkinson has The Seahawks line up all three of their star wideouts to the right. They throw backside to Parkinson. A perfect back shoulder throw by Geno. And the Seahawks go up 19-17 with 57 seconds left awaiting the PAT. What a great call and a great throw by Geno.
Great call, Rabes. There you go. There you go. You know, you might not have seen it, but before he was finished the catch, he was smiling. I noticed he had a big freaking smile on his face as he's going to the ground. It was awesome.
He said he waited 3 years for that call,
yes,
right?
We've been working on it for years, and it was perfect. And the best part of the catch, and Brock, you'd appreciate how much he reached for the football, yeah. And if he hadn't done that, that ball would not have been caught. I mean, he attacked the ball and then just totally muscled up on it throughout the finish of it. That was a great play. That was a great play.
Well, getting ready for Pittsburgh.
Let's go.
Let's go. Let's go. For Pittsburgh.
Hey, don't feed those raccoons, I heard.
Hey, tell Stacy's father, stepfather. It seems like he's the one who needs to know. We'll be back tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Until then, Brock the Hay.
Oh, Barn Barn.
See everybody.
We are the home of the Seahawks.
Geno's going to throw right down the seam. Touchdown!